Division into what? Three, right? There's not only eternity and time, but there's this third thing called the what? Evil, right? Yeah, for want of a better name, right? Okay. But I mean, the fact they're difficult in the name is a sign that this third one is not as easily what? Okay. Just like they're calling that intermediary form of fiction, a tragic comedy, because they didn't have a name for it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I answer it should be said, now we'll get to by the article, that the evum differs from time and from eternity as a middle, right, existing between them, right? Huh? As I say, that's like Aristotle talking about what? Oligarchy and democracy before he talks about the republic. The public is in between, right? And Aristotle refers back to the fact that virtue is a middle between two extremes, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But of these, the difference of these, some assign thus, saying that eternity lacks a beginning and an end, right? The avum has a beginning, because the angels didn't always exist, but no end. Time has both a beginning and an end. Huh? I was mentioning earlier today, the apocalypse there, right? Time will no longer be. Okay. But notice how Thomas says here. But this difference is per accidens, huh? Just as has been said above. Because even if the eternal things were always and would always be in the future, as some lay down, or even if at some times they failed, which is possible for God, huh? Still yet the evil would be distinguished from eternity and time. Huh? Others assign the difference among these three to this fact that eternity has no before and after. Time, however, has what? A before and after with a what? Yeah, and new things, right? Innovation, right? We say in English, huh?
Mm-hmm.
With new things and what? Things getting old, huh? As I know here. But the avum has a before and after without what? Innovation and what? Growing old, right? Huh? It's a little bit like, you know, when I think of, if I know some theorems of geometry, right? I think of one of them, and then I think about another one, and then I go back and think about the first one, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing new to me, right? I'm getting old, but there's still before and after in my thinking. Mm-hmm. That's kind of what the evum is, what some people think, right? Okay? But this position implies some contradictories, right? Which manifestly appears if innovation and growing old are referred to the measure itself. For if the before and after duration are not able to be together, if the avum has a before and after, it is necessary that the part before receding, then the part coming afterwards is what? New, huh? And thus there will be innovation in the avum as in time. If, however, it is referred to the things measured, there still follow some things inconvenient, huh?
Mm-hmm.
For from this, a temporal thing becomes what? Old in time, because it has changeable being, right? And from the changeableness of the measured, there is before and after in the measure, as is clear from the fourth book of Natural Hearing, the Physics. If therefore the aeternum is not able to grow old or to renovate things, this will be because its being is not what? Changed, huh? Its measure, therefore, will not have before and after. It should be said, therefore, that since eternity is the measure of a permanent being, according as something recedes from the permanence of being, according to this, it recedes from what? Eternity. Now, some things recede from the permanence of being, that their very being is a subject of change, eh? Or it consists in change. Eh? And these things are measured by time, as every motion is, and also the being of all, what, corruptible things. But some things recede less from the permanence of being, because their being neither consists in change, nor is it a subject of change. Huh? I suppose the what motion is more something whose being consists in change, right? And the corruptible things are subject to change, right? Okay. But nevertheless, it has some kind of change joined to it, either in act and ability. Just as in the celestial bodies, huh, whose substantial being is unchangeable. We may not agree with Thomas there, right? Nevertheless, their unchangeable being, they have this unchangeable being with changeableness according to place. Huh? They go from one place to another. Of course, they're seeing in Thomas today, he's talking about the stars. And sometimes, of course, they call the planets a star. Mm-hmm. But Thomas distinguishes between the fixed stars, and in Latin he says the errantia, E-R-R-A-N-T-I, which means the wanderers, right? Mm-hmm. The error, a knight errant. Huh? That's what the word planet means in Greek. Huh? It means that they wander. Huh? And that's what I was mentioning before, how the word for error in Latin comes from the word to wander. Mm-hmm. And the Greek word for error, pane, comes from the word to wander there too. Mm-hmm. That's the words that Christ uses when he says to the Sadducees, right? You err, right? They translate sometimes, but pane is the verb for would be in there. You err, knowing neither the power of God nor the scriptures, he says. Okay. And likewise, it is clear about the angels, who have unchangeable being, right? With changeableness according to what? Choice. Huh? As far as pertains to their nature. And with a what? Some changeableness of what? Understandings, right? And affections. And of places, huh? In their own way, right? They can apply their power to different places. And therefore these things of this sort are measured by the avum, which is a middle between eternity and what? Time. But the being that eternity measures is neither changeable, nor is it, what, joined to any kind of changeableness. Thus, therefore, time has a before and after. The avum does not have in itself a before and after, but they're able to be joined to it in terms of something other than their being, right? Namely, their what, choices or their thoughts or their affections and so on. The eternity does not have a before and after, nor is it compatible with any kind of before and after. Huh? So he's a hard guy to influence, right? One question I like to ask people, you know, sometimes is, does God love us because we are good, or are we good because God loves us? What's the answer?
The latter.
Yeah, yeah. We're good because God loves us. That our goodness is an effect of God's love for us. Huh? That's kind of a humbling consideration, right? Huh? Okay. So let's look again at the objections here. The first one is the text from Augustine in the 8th book of Genesis to the letter, right? And that's obviously what? It's talking about words there, right? And I don't know, I'd heard, I don't know if this is true, that